This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
Imagine that your regular physician suddenly and without warning drops his medical practice. No one else in the office he shares with several other physicians is willing to take you on as a patient, or assist in any way in finding another physician. You begin a search, calling numerous physicians in your neighborhood and further afield, until one finally gives you an appointment and takes you on as a patient. Many people you know have probably had similar difficulties in finding a primary care physician. Dr. Stephen Huang is a physician and researcher at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. He's just completed a research project on some important factors which influence the difficulty of finding a general physician to monitor and care for your basic medical needs. Dr. Stephen Huang joins us by phone today from Toronto to share the results of his recent research. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning.
Now, how did you organize your research to get information on the factors that seem to influence positive and negative responses from a physician?
Well, we wanted to see how things work in real life, so we decided to do an audit study in which we actually called physicians' offices and pretended to be a person looking for a family physician. And we used a very carefully designed script to indicate that we were either of high or low socioeconomic status, and also whether or not we had chronic health problems.
So did you have any difficulty in getting responses from as big a sample of physicians as you would have liked?
Well, yes, absolutely. What we discovered, and it's probably no surprise to your listeners, is that it's quite hard to find a family physician. And if one starts by going through the list of family physicians, what we discovered is that, at least in Toronto, many of those family physicians aren't providing primary care. They're in specialized practices in things like sports medicine or psychotherapy. So they're just scratched off the list off the top. So we actually had to try about 1,000 offices in order to reach 375 of them.
So you had a smaller sample than you'd initially hoped for, but still, with that sample, what distinguished the people who got a positive response to their request for a physician from those who got a negative response?
So what we found was that if the caller said that they were that they worked for a major bank and had just been transferred to the city, thus clearly implying that they were of high status, they had a 23% chance of getting an appointment to be taken on as a patient by the physician. But if they mentioned that they had a welfare worker, which clearly implies that they had low socioeconomic status, they had only a 14% chance of getting an appointment.
Well, even for the people who were bankers, that's a pretty low response rate.
Yeah, so it's difficult even if you're a privileged person, but what we discovered is that some doctor's offices appear to be giving preferential access to higher income individuals and turning away lower income people.
Does this difference depend, do you think, on the amount of money a doctor can expect from one patient versus another?
Well, we think it's not explained by a financial motivation, and that's because across Canada, everyone has access to universal health insurance, and in fact, the doctor gets paid the same amount whether he or she's looking after a wealthy patient or a low-income patient. So we actually think that this is evidence of discrimination on the basis of status, of the patient's socioeconomic status, and that it's not a financially driven decision.
Is this something then that's coming from, I mean, I'm just thinking when you call a doctor's office, most of the contacts are not going to be with the doctor. They're going to be with a receptionist. How does that change how you view or complicate how you view your research?
So you're absolutely right. When we called doctor's offices, almost exclusively, we spoke to receptionists and other office staff. And so there's really two possible explanations for what we observed. One is that either the people who answer the phone have unconscious biases against lower-income people and tended to turn them away without even perhaps realizing that they were showing this kind of favoritism, or it's possible that the physicians themselves have told their office staff that they want a certain kind of patient in their practice, and the people who answer the phone are simply doing what they've been instructed to do.
Okay, so in the case where it would be the second situation where the doctor has told the receptionist that they want a certain kind of patient, why? What would be, if it's not a financial benefit, what would you speculate could be a reason for that?
Well, our study doesn't tell us that directly, but I can speculate that it's likely that physicians may feel that higher income patients or higher status patients are somehow easier or more pleasant to have as patients. And certainly there has been research that suggests that physicians do tend to ascribe negative characteristics to lower income patients, even when they have no real reason to make those assumptions. They'll simply assume that a lower income patient is less likely to be motivated, less likely to be compliant with treatment recommendations, etc. So I think that that's that may be a factor, but certainly we feel that it's really unacceptable that any physician's office might show preference for people simply on the basis of their income or their status in society.
So in a sense that there's cherry picking going on of patients, obviously. What does that say about our system of equality of care for all, regardless of income?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, I do want to say that I think that we have a wonderful system in the sense that we do ensure that everyone does have insurance and some access and access to care. But I think that that doesn't, what this study shows is that that system does not guarantee that there is not going to be discrimination on the basis of people's status in society. And I think that it also shows that we have to guard against that. In fact, there's a policy at the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, which says that physicians who are accepting new patients should do so on a first-come, first-served basis and not cherry-pick their patients. So the what we observed is actually contrary to the College of Physicians policy here.
What motivated you to embark on this particular piece of research?
Well, I actually take care of a number of marginalized and homeless patients in my practice. And they've often indicated to me that they feel that in the past they've been treated badly by healthcare providers, and they felt that it was simply because they were poor that they got badly treated. And I wanted to do a study that actually tested to see could we actually confirm and quantify this anecdotal information I'd heard.
So in a sense, you weren't surprised to find out what you found out?
No, I wasn't surprised, and actually it actually confirmed what we suspected all along.
Is there one major improvement in the organization of our medical system that you think would bring us closer to equal treatment on the level of everybody having access to primary physician care?
I don't think that there's one single thing. I think certainly that, first of all, simply emphasizing to physicians and their staff that we should be prioritizing people strictly according to their medical need and not according to their income or their education or their status is very important. I think that also we should be designing healthcare systems that actually provide high quality care to people who are disadvantaged and marginalized. And in fact, certainly community health centers are a great example of the kinds of systems that serve those populations extremely well.
Well, it's been really interesting talking to you about your research this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dr. Stephen Huang. He's a physician and researcher at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@cooperadio.org.